cheating on me. I'm praying for you, for I still believe someday you'll be true. You reap what you sow, I know those words are so true. To me, I cheated on you. I know how you felt last night when you came home to me. You gave me a kiss and a smile, but the fear in your eyes I could see. Your sweet lips were trembling like mine as your story began. I tried to pretend I believed you for the chance to smile again. So true. For when you were faithful to me, I cheated on you.
It's Sportsy Talk on WFMU. Bronwyn C. is not here. It is a special MLK Day version of our show. I'm still trying to put this up. Wait a minute. I'm praying for you. That was the Leuven Brothers. I'm with Anselm Berrigan, noted poet, man about town, handsome, very handsome.
Oh.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim.
Bronwyn C. is not here, so this is a much less trusted edition of the most trusted team in sports talk radio today. I'm trying to play number 94 here. Wait a minute. That song was too short. Wonderful song by the Leuven Brothers, but too short to get everything done that you need to get done as a DJ. In the land of DJs. Our number is 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. If I can get our CD player to play the song that I thought it was going to play. That sounds like something. It's supposed to be an inflating football. I don't know what that...
Or a deflating football.
It could be deflating football. Because that's all I want to talk about for the next hour. Is did the ball have air in it or not? So please call. It's 201-209-9368. There were two wonderful football games yesterday. One of them was... I've never seen a team lose in the last 2 minutes that had like a 12-point lead. I mean, I went in the other room to make myself like an ice cream sandwich or something like that. And when I came back, the game was in overtime.
That was a bad loss. Did you see the back cover of the New York Post today?
No, what exactly was their...
Their headline was goat cheese.
Goat cheese. So, they kind of tried to hang in on one particular player. So, you do an onside kick and that never works, right? You're supposed to kick it 10 yards. It's got to hit the other team in the face or something. And then you have to catch it and then go get another touchdown. It worked yesterday inexplicably. The tallest guy on the field...
But, you know, what was amazing was that even after the onside kick, even after they went down and scored the touchdown, they still had to do the two-point conversion.
Two-point conversion, which was like a play like, Russell Wilson's running. He's like, it's like a fire drill or something. He's going the opposite direction.
He threw the ball up in the air on a little lob. I mean, it was basically a Hail Mary two-point conversion. That would be the kind of throw I would have made when I was 12 playing on St. Mark's.
That's how I throw every day. It's sort of like that's sort of like... All frontal arm throw.
And then Green Bay still came down, kicked a field goal to tie the game and send it into overtime.
And you're thinking like, all right, well, this is a pretty good game. And then, I don't know, maybe the Seahawks deflated the balls. I don't know. I mean, we're going to look into that hopefully with every team. But somehow Russell Wilson, they put it together. And the guy he'd thrown four interceptions trying to hit this guy the whole game, that curse.
He was terrible all game, and then he played like a magician for the last 5 to 10 minutes of regulation and overtime.
And then he cried. And that was beautiful. I love when sports guys cry.
All those guys in Seattle were crying.
They were crying and riding bikes. I thought that was kind of a nice touch. It was like a Wade Boggs on the
absolutely.
On the horse.
And sweating HGH out of their.
I mean, you got to get it out. You got to work that stuff out. All those PEDs. You can't keep them inside. So that I thought I had seen it all, and then the Patriots game versus the Colts wasn't so great, you know.
No.
But now, I know why.
It would have been much more interesting to know about the Deflategate beforehand.
If I had known during the game, because they're you know those guys are always talking in the booth about nothing. I want to know how much air is in the ball at all times.
And so what's the advantage of deflating the ball slightly? You can throw it a little better?
Apparently, because it was pouring in both places. Now, the NFL really needs to get a little bit better about controlling the weather.
Yeah.
Because snow is cool, but rain, nobody wants to sit in the rain. Nobody wants to pay $500 to get wet.
Not if they're not going to break out the helmets with little umbrellas on top of them.
No, well, it would seem to me that none of the NFL guys seem to be getting that wet on the sideline, but the people in the crowd were just absolutely, they've all have pneumonia today. I mean, none of those people have survived either game.
But did they even notice?
No, because they're just so happy, right? But now I'm a huge Patriots fan. I was a Patriots fan back when they couldn't show their home games because they couldn't fill Schaefer Stadium with any fans. They went 1-15 one year, and that one game was great. I mean, that was terrific. Yeah, I believe Scott Zolak jumped on the coach, who was like 90, who probably died. I think the coach may have died that game.
This was post Steve Grogan and Tony.
This was sort of mid Steve Grogan. No, that was Zolak is after Steve Grogan and Tony Eason. Zolak was the next, but that was some grim times
between Eason and Bledsoe.
Yes, before Drew came, Drew was like at that time you're like, well, that's the greatest quarterback that we've ever had by a lot. You know, and he got us to a Super Bowl.
He always looked to me like he always had one limb, and you never knew which limb it was that was playing in slow motion while the rest of him was at regular speed.
He was one of those guys like Brett Favre, who's got such a great arm that he's like, well, I see like a mosquito-sized window that I'm going to try to throw through three different guys that are defending a guy and get it to the guy that I see. I'm the only one who sees this hole in the... And you know, inevitably he went on to throw four interceptions in a Super Bowl, which is a proud Patriots tradition. Tony Eason, I think, went 0-10 in his first. He got pulled from like the. They were down 14 or 20 points in the first quarter.
I was watching that game,
and they took him out. And they put old man Grogan back in. I love Steve Grogan. Steve Grogan's my personal favorite because I wrote to him as a child, and he sent me a picture of himself. No text, nothing. It was just, here's a photo of me, kid. This is what I look like when I'm not being tackled.
That's how we should answer every correspondence.
It's just, here's my photo.
Yeah,
and I had the photo for a long time. I'm going to write to him again. Maybe I get another photo. But now, you know, in the Belichick era, in the winning era, we've won with being great, but also being evil. You know, we tape other teams' practices,
right?
You know, shenanigans. We lately we've been lining up guys who are secretly blockers. You know, so they look like a wide receiver, but they're not supposed to catch the ball. They're supposed to come back. And the other guy on the other side, we pulled that yesterday. I think we got a touchdown because that Nate Solder.
But that's legal.
I mean, technically legal.
But the NFL rule book reads like a Dostoevsky.
I mean, no one could. No one. Dostoevsky's one of the referees, I think, from yesterday's game. But now the height of our evil, our trickery. You know, because I want us to get back to our winning, cheating days. As a Patriots fan, you know, we haven't won in like, it's been 10 or 11 years since we won. And those Giants beat us twice, which is terrible, in the Super Bowl. To lose in the Super Bowl is just awful.
Especially to lose to those Giants teams that were clearly inferior but were better those days.
Well, they were catching it against their helmets. I didn't even know you could do that.
That probably was a deflated ball, actually.
That could have been a deflated ball.
That's probably where Belichick got the
idea. Is that where he got the idea? He puts a ball on the ball, a little bit of air gets out of it.
But Tyree probably hit the ball on his head. that lost a little bit of air, and then it made the next cup, made that pass to Plexico for the touchdown.
Well, the biggest cheating that the Giants ever did was they always seemed to have these pass rushers come from nowhere that were just like outstanding pass rushers. You're like, right. How could this one be as good as the other eight guys they have who can tackle the quarterback?
I was saying to our mutual friend, the poet John Clutty, last night that if Lawrence Taylor was playing today and made some of the hits I saw him make when he was a kid, he'd be put in jail.
Yeah, they don't let you hit in the head, other people in the head, with your head.
He used to pick up Jay Schrader from the Redskins and just launch him
into
space.
He's broken about three or four quarterbacks just from the Washington Redskins, if I recall. Yeah. I mean, he destroyed Theismann's leg on national television.
But he ruined Jay Schrader's career.
He did a lot of picking people up and just throwing them to the ground, which I guess is now like you would get 45 yards on a penalty.
He seemed to be able to phase through an offensive linesman and then just go.
It was part cocaine, part anger, part.
I think he was quite fast.
He's the fastest, meanest. He's just great.
Some people don't need to sleep much.
He didn't. I mean, he went out to clubs after the game and partied with the Mets, I believe, right? I mean, it was like him and the Mets, and they would just stay out all night.
I wasn't there for that.
Yeah. Keith Hernandez tells a few tales. But now the height of Patriots cheating has come to light this morning that possibly they have deflated some of the balls during the game or before the game so that it would be easier to catch in the rain. Now, they beat the Colts by, like, it was like 45-7 or something like that.
I don't think, it didn't seem to help Andrew Luck that much to have the ball.
Nothing seemed to help him, but I think he was wet, and maybe the neck beard got very wet. So, like, he was really off for most of the game.
Yeah, his chin was being pulled down. It was bad gravity effect.
Now, our friend Douglas Rothschild, the poet, believes that all NFL games are fixed. But, I mean, would you allow yourself to be humiliated 45-7 by the Patriots?
No,
right?
I don't think so. He also believes that all NBA games are fixed.
He believes that everything is fixed. Yeah. Someone's pulling the strings on all human events.
Yeah,
which is wise. That's that seems like a good theory.
That's sort of like being religious, I suppose.
That you believe that somewhere someone is in control of all things. Hello, Carl. You're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
I thought you were in control of all the NFL games.
This is Bronwyn C., the real host of Sportsy Talk.
Hi, Anselm. Thank you for doing Sportsy Talk today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, we're much less trusted today because you're like 98% of the most trusted team in Sports Talk Radio.
Well, I'm like you're much less trusted because you root for cheaters.
I love cheating. I can't. I'm sorry.
I see that you do.
Cheating. Cheating.
You know, I heard an interview with Tom Brady this morning.
Yeah. Did he?
On like some other Sports Talk show. Not as good as our Sports Talk show.
Right. I mean, I'm sure we could get Tom Brady on the air tonight.
I'm sure we could because they asked him about Deflate Gate.
And did he just laugh maniacally to himself?
He just laughed hysterically.
But evil laugh? Like,
He just laughed hysterically. Like, he just lost his mind. The minute they asked about it, he started laughing. And he never answered the question.
I think he said it was ridiculous.
Ball? Were you throwing a ball that had been deflated?
And he said, yes, he went, I deflated it myself. Well, you always see him sort of throwing the ball angrily on the sidelines between things. Maybe that's what he's doing, is trying to get some of the air out of the ball.
Well, one of the commenters one of the commentators on the game yesterday was saying, they were actually talking about it during the game. They were saying, oh, the refs took that ball out because it's been deflated. And then one of them was saying, well, you know, when it's cold, the air naturally compresses within
no,
the ball.
No, see, they're just trying to cover up for the Patriots,
it
obviously.
It might seem that it's been deflated, but it's just because it's really cold here. And I'm like, I don't know, I think, what was it, like 50 degrees there, 45 degrees? I mean, it was raining.
It was raining, so it's not cold enough to snow.
I don't think it was cold enough to deflate a ball.
Phil Simms has a degree in advanced physics, so he probably read it right off the
He knows
right
a lot of things.
Hand.
Well, at one point they turned to the guy, the referee, that doesn't really, he always gets the call wrong. And he was obviously covering up for the Patriots, too.
He was great.
He covered up for the Patriots, too. He said, oh, they put one of the kicking balls instead of one of the throwing balls on the field.
Right.
So he was covering up.
Accidentally putting the wrong ball.
Oh, accidentally. Yeah. No, of course. Exactly. Everything that happens on the field in the NFL is controlled by Bill Belichick, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a lot of effort to deflate all those balls.
I mean,
like 30 or 40 of them.
You can rest easy because Roger Goodell is.
Oh yeah, he'll take care of that. He hasn't seen the video yet, but I'm sure he'll take care good care of that.
He had to hire Donald Rumsfeld to investigate.
Now, did the Packers and Seahawks? How is it possible that the Packers lost that game? They were like up by 12 points with 2 minutes left.
It was so sad.
A sequence of events had to happen that it's so unlikely.
Everything was unlikely.
See, I think that game was fixed.
Like the muffed onside kick was unlikely. The guy that grabbed at the onside kick, like jumped up and stuck his face in front of it.
I know he kind of headbutted it to the other team.
He wasn't supposed to be doing that. He was supposed to be blocking for the guy behind him.
What part of block the play?
Like
there is video of him being spoken to by another player on the special teams that says, "Hey, why don't you just block on this play?" Like block, like, you know, a guy's coming at you and you push him down or push him away.
Well, he blocked the ball.
He blocked the ball into the other guy's hands. Like that onside kick never works.
What
like,
do you do if the ball's coming at you?
Also, my boyfriend, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
My boyfriend could totally have caught that kind of little poofy.
He caught everything else that game.
That extra point, you know, that thing, that two-point conversion.
Braun was upset with me because during
He watched it kind of woof over his head.
Because they'd gotten the news straight down from Roger Goodell and Bill Belichick, the evil overlords of NFL football, that they had to go into overtime at least. That America wasn't quite hooked on this game
enough. Is that guy's name really Ha-Ha?
I believe it's a nickname. And Bronwyn's upset with me.
His real name is Sean.
His grandmother called him Ha-Ha or something like that?
I think he's changed it legally to Ha-Ha.
I mean, it's a better name than Sean Dix.
It makes me want to change my name to Oh Man.
Oh Man?
Yeah.
Well, Braun was upset with me because during one of our drunken live drafts for the football thing that we did here at the studio, she was going to pick Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I don't even remember us having a defensive player in our fantasy. We had punters. Now,
punters are
great.
We don't actually have defensive players.
But at one point, you wanted to draft him.
You wouldn't let me have him.
And I wouldn't allow it. And now you're upset with me because it's like this is the week that it would have worked out for you because he would have had like two interceptions and stuff like that.
Because he just sat there and watched. That was no good.
He was so tired of catching interceptions. I mean, they tried to throw to like Jerome Kearse like four times and like four different guys got interceptions that game.
That was the worst.
And the punter threw a touchdown.
Russell Wilson's ever played, but it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter because the NFL had and Bill Belichick had decided.
John Ryan has a better quarterback rating in that game than Wilson.
John Ryan is the punter from the Seattle Seahawks who has he's one for one with a touchdown.
This week. There was a lot of good punting in those games.
Maybe the NFL will compensate in the Super Bowl by using overinflated balls.
I hope all the balls will be. I want to know how much air is in every ball all the time. I want a meter on that. I want to know.
Do you want to keep talking about this, or do you want to have news of the dead?
Who's died?
The Knicks and all that.
The Knicks. The news of the dead like that? The Knicks have died. Because I've been watching their games with sheer delight.
Lucky that I didn't win that contest and that we didn't go to London because they got blown out over there.
They get blown out no matter where they are. I mean, the Knicks games are like this epic existential crisis. I mean, my favorite is also Celebrity Row, which is inhabited by people who are wearing bags or like I couldn't get out of sitting here kind of thing.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch those games, I have to say.
There was a really horrendous odor emitted from Madison Square Garden this weekend, and everyone thought it was the Knicks, but it was actually the poo from the Bulls at the rodeo.
We missed the rodeo this year.
We missed the rodeo, yeah. Oh, wow. We got to go next. Apparently there was like a lot of sex going on in the bathroom stalls at the rodeo.
Sex was going on? Like a lot of pictures sex with bulls? Or who was having sex exactly?
Apparently rodeo fans.
Rodeo fans were having sex with each other at Madison Square Garden?
Yes, in the toilet stall.
That's just outstanding. And I have to say,
pictures online of that, yes.
There's pictures online? What am I doing here?
Yes.
The radio show's over. We're going to play some more Leuven Brothers. We're just going to go watch the rodeo people have sex.
Maybe the Knicks. The Knicks should sign Patricia Driscoll to come off the bench in their team.
Who is Patricia Driscoll?
Patricia Driscoll is the assassin.
Oh, the.
Oh, right!
That Kurt Busch from NASCAR has been dating.
Danny D alerted me Danny D is very helpful to the big show. You know, he calls in all the time. But he alerted me to the fact that Kurt Busch, NASCAR driver man, is dating an assassin.
CIA-trained assassin.
Like, she'll come home after a tough day at work and be covered in blood. And this came out because of some court case or something like that, Anselm?
I'm reading about it right here, and it seems to say that, being called to, he was accused of abusing her, and his defense is that
that she's a murderer.
She's an assassin.
That she gets paid to murder people.
According to USA Today, quote, Bush offered up specific examples of her returning from missions, sometimes with bruises.
So you're dating an assassin.
Okay. Once, he said, they were in El Paso, Texas, where Driscoll had left that night in camouflage and boots. She returned later to the hotel at which he was staying wearing a trench coat. Under it, she was wearing an evening gown splattered with blood and other matter.
Hey, that happens.
Other matter.
And other matter. He testified that she claimed she was a trained assassin who had killed people, including drug lords.
Well, if you're going to kill people, then drug lords. I mean, no one's going to miss drug lords.
Yeah.
No, no one cares.
There is some subjectivity to declaring somebody a drug lord.
Well, they're dead, well, right?
True.
You can call them whatever you want.
I mean, you could declare the guy who provides the Seattle Seahawks with their Adderall a drug lord.
That's right.
I love the Adderall. I've been on it for a couple of years. I'm still not quite as good as most of the defensive players on the Seahawks that apparently.
But you're getting there, right?
No. I mean, for me, it's more like. I pay attention to something for longer than 5 seconds because I've taken this pill in the morning. I can function as a human being because I have taken the pill.
Okay.
So an assassin. Have you ever dated an assassin? You've dated, Bronwyn, some of the thugs of the NHL.
Yes, I have.
Previous to their mumps stages.
I dated a hockey player.
He was an enforcer, though, right?
I dated two hockey players, but one was a college hockey player.
He was an enforcer? Like, was he a tough guy? Was he a killer?
No.
Did he come home splattered in blood and other matter?
Come home missing his teeth.
I have to go, honey. I have to go kill some people. I'll be back later. Covered in blood.
You know who died?
Who died? Tell me.
The instant replay guy died.
What instant replay guy?
Tony Verna, the man who invented the instant replay.
He invented it?
On television.
How did
he invented it.
How do you invent the...
It wasn't always there. Maybe he's been there as long as you've been alive, but...
I mean, I've been alive for like 42 years. That seems like a long time. When was the instant I used to call re-instant play. Until I was about 35, I called it the re-instant play. I was like, it's a re-instant play, and they're like, that's not anything. What you just said is
re-instant a... Re-instant play, yes. The re-instant play was invented for the first time on December 7th, 1963. Oh, the Army-Navy football game in Philadelphia.
Well, obviously, you're going to want to see the highlights of those games.
Yeah, right? Over and over again.
Yeah,
this man was Tony Verna, and he was a CBS sports TV director.
And Tony Verna.
Fill some time, you know, when they had the long pauses. Well,
yeah, because I mean, football games are mostly
they were measuring the inflation of the footballs.
They're mostly standing around, you know, drinking Gatorade, trying to deflate the balls during breaks.
He was a time traveler.
Yeah, so he had to fill some time. So he just said, "Oh, let's just take a cut of that one play and show it again."
And now it's to the point where it's an art. They just show the play over and over and over again until the guy from the Cowboys drops
the
it, and then
it.
The Cowboys lose.
They're DJs.
That's pretty cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry he's dead. He was like 90 or something like that.
Someplace in California.
Was he killed by an assassin dating a NASCAR driver?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Is that what you're saying?
What?
He was killed by a NASCAR driver's girlfriend assassin?
He was killed by a NASCAR driver's girlfriend.
Was he killed by Aaron Hernandez? That's what it's unclear to me.
Aaron Hernandez, yeah.
How is Aaron Hernandez, is Aaron Hernandez responsible for the murder of the guy with the reinstant play?
No, he died of some kind of lymphoma. But I think Aaron Hernandez is responsible for all the horses that are dying at Aqueduct.
Well, who's dying at Aqueduct?
Horses.
Why?
Lots of them.
Why are they dying?
Well, first off,
cold as hell up here.
Aqueduct is like such a scummy track.
It's kind of a gross place,
and they have winter racing. Like, they're racing now. They're out there racing.
So they're trying to kill these horses.
Ice, you know?
Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know. Because the horses are really sad, beaten-down horses.
Like
and they make them race, like, two or three times a week.
There's a tied-up here in the studio. There's a tied-up unicorn in Stonehenge. So that's what we're thinking of right now is this poor unicorn.
The unicorn
can't escape.
Poor unicorn out in Aqueduct right now, racing in the dark.
Racing in the dark. I would go to unicorn racing.
I missed this story, but I'm sure Tony Romo is involved somehow.
Tony Romo's involved.
I think he's probably also inside those deflated footballs.
Tony Romo is responsible for most of the tragic events in the NFL. Usually it's because he's thrown an interception of some kind. He just brings sadness whence he goes. He's just he has a broken back or, you know, his girlfriend dumps him or...
Yeah, the Cowboys-Packers game was fun watching those two quarterbacks that were broken. Which one was the least broken?
Danny D wants to break some breaking sportsy news. Super Bowl co-MVP Randy White is appearing in some sketchy antivirus software commercial in what has to be the most random endorsement deal ever. Now, who is Randy White? I don't remember who Randy White is.
He was the Super Bowl MVP from some year.
Somewhere. Right. Well, but there's one of those every year, and most of the time it's some guy you never heard of. Just the guy squeezing the balls.
They've got Joe Montana on those Papa John's commercials.
Yeah, those are sad. Those are incredibly
like elder
sad.
Elder abuse, you know? It's really sad.
I'm not actually convinced that Papa John's exists. It's like,
well, that's a good point. I've never seen one.
I've never seen one.
I ordered when I lived in East Williamsburg, Brooklyn. There was a Papa John's that we used to get food from, but not from that guy. That guy is very odd. The Papa John.
Yeah, he brings Peyton Manning's.
Peyton Manning, yes, seems to be in
down a little bit.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things because when you live in the tri-state area here and you see all the same commercials for like Sonic, like we don't have any of those.
Right.
And we don't want any of them, frankly. We want an In-N-Out burger.
No, we have 57 Ray's pizzas, although actually that's down.
But there's no commercials for, you know, Famous Ray's or Original Ray's or, you know, like there's no commercials for Ray's Pizza, unfortunately. But there's no Sonic's. There's no Papa John's.
No Carl's Jr.
Yeah, like all these things seem fine, like Arby's. You have to go to Connecticut and really look for it to find an Arby's.
There were Arby's in Buffalo when I lived in Buffalo. You could
find
those.
Big time, right?
Yeah.
Well, between, you know, I rode out with David Hess one time, another poet, friend of ours.
Five roast beef sandwiches for $5.
See, that's outstanding. But David Hess and I rode from St. Louis, where we watched a Cardinals game, to the Royals, where the Royals played. And it was 500 Taco Bells and 500 porn stores along the same stretch of road. And I was just like, I want both tacos and porn and to see the Royals game tonight. How many of these can we stop at? Apparently quite a few. Bronwyn, are you enjoying Martin Luther King's birthday?
I lived in Kansas City for a while.
I know. You've lived almost everywhere, and I think that's because you're in the witness protection program or something like that.
I am. I'm a trained assassin, actually.
Are you a trained assassin? Are you covered in blood currently?
Yeah. I dated hockey players instead of NASCAR drivers, but other than that.
Well.
Yeah. But the thing about the Kansas City area is that's where they try out a lot of franchises for fast food.
Well, because they have good taste there in Kansas City. They got delicious barbecue. They're lovable, scrappy Royals team that's never going to make the playoffs again. Never mind the World Series.
No, they just think it's like the most the most standard of standardness.
Marcel M. On the board says Mad Papa John's in Brooklyn. So if anybody's listening at Papa John's, give us a call. It's 201-209-9368. And perhaps tell us, you know, if you can bring us a free pizza for mentioning you on the air.
He might be just saying there's a lot of them there.
That's what I mean. Is that what the kids say? Mad Papa John's.
To say that there's a lot?
Yeah, like there's...
Or maybe there's just an angry Papa John's.
There's just one angry Papa John's.
It's got...
In Q's Garden or something like that.
A tooth-filled doorway that's just snapping down on anybody who comes in.
This is supposed to be. This sounds like a pinball machine, but it's supposed to be some sort of inflating device in the back of us.
Oh, maybe it's one of those old ones like they used to have in gas stations that had the little dinging bell when the air.
When you filled it to the part where the Belichick fill, where it's got a little bit less air than everything else.
Would ring and let you know that was enough. It was sufficient. It wasn't fully inflated yet.
I thought the thing you were supposed to do in the rain was get a really break out your Nerf footballs, let them get filled with water till they become
hard. Then it's just, you know, you get that back shot when you actually catch a ball that's like a Nerf ball filled with water, and it's just like somebody's thrown you a sponge at a car wash, and you just kind of get like a face full of garbage water.
Yeah, basically.
I would watch the NFL if it was played with Nerf footballs and garbage water. Garbage water everywhere.
You watch the NFL anyway.
I'll watch it anyway.
If they could.
Are you going to watch the Pro Bowl?
I am not going to watch the Pro Bowl because that's just sad. That is like a weird game in Hawaii that no one wants to play.
No. If they lined up back to back instead of face to face,
that'd
be great.
When it used to come after the Super Bowl, it was like the superficial bowl. It was like nobody cared anymore. People would quit watching football. It was over for the season. And then
it's a game they shouldn't play, basically. Like, All-Star Weekend for the NHL is coming up. I thought it was this past weekend, but I think it's this coming week. Like, who cares? And then the NBA weekend. And really the only thing that I hypothetically like watching is the skills competitions in both those. So if they had some kind of flaming hoops that guys could throw balls through... Like, I don't want to watch them play like some sort of like lazy game of football with a bunch of guys they never even met.
And also those guys, you know, they don't really play hard because they don't want to injure each other. They know it's just...
Playing in that game is not playing in the Super Bowl. So like now it's like, well, go ahead and injure me, man. I'm going to be off for 6 months. I mean, how bad are you going to hurt me?
They should play the Pro Bowl without a ball. They could just be mimes.
Well, they could play it without an audience too. I mean, you know, they don't have to put it on television. They could just tell us what happened. But I don't like the NBA All-Star game is lame. The NHL All-Star game is super lame. And the All-Pro game is super lame. I mean, the baseball All-Star game is amusing only in, like, every once in a while they run out of pitchers. Or, you know, somebody will, like, Pete Rose will kill some catcher for no reason. Like,
right.
They'll just slide right into him and spike him or something.
Every now and then there's a good moment in the MLB All-Star game. There was that year that Curt Schilling told A-Rod what he was throwing him.
Oh, he's like, here it comes.
He just said, hey, fastball.
Here it comes.
And he did it three times, and he whiffed on all of them.
Well, Curt Schilling is just messing with him. He should just throw the sock. I mean, first of all, the sock's covered in ketchup. We already know the sock has ketchup on it. Nobody's bleeding out during the game. They stapled his leg back together. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. And I'm a Red Sox fan.
That sock is in the Hall of Fame.
He's not in the Hall of Fame. He says it's because he's not a Republican. He's a Republican. But it's because he lied about the stupid sock and the bleeding. I want to take the sock out of the Hall of Fame, find out what kind of ketchup it is, and just end this nonsense as it is. Because, I mean, if I was the Yankees in Game 6, I would have bunted every time I was up. I would have just been like, lay down a bunt. And it's just because Joe Torre's too nice a guy to do that. It's ridiculous.
You can't bunt against guys who don't believe in evolution, though.
He doesn't. And that was the end of the happiness of the Red Sox winning the World Series. Was that, like, literally moments after they won the World Series, Schilling's like, yep, let's go celebrate, and let's all go vote for President Bush. And you're like going, oh, really? Come on, man. I mean, really? Do we have to do that?
You know you're still happy about that World Series. Come on.
No. I mean, it's really, you know, if they had just won once, I think I would still be happy about it. But now every couple of years they win the World Series, and it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's nice at the time. I mean, whatever. You know, now it's like, for me, I like seeing teams that have no business winning the World Series. The Red Sox spend $200 million a year to try to win the World Series. I want to see a team...
Do you really want to see the Mets win the World Series, though?
I would love to see the Mets win the World Series.
Really?
They win every 25 years.
They won the World Series. They won the World Series like in 86.
Yes, I did
right?
see that. I remember watching that series.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
The Bill Buckner and the... I don't remember watching Game 7, but I remember watching. And that was truly heartbreaking, truly sad. And that was when it was great to be a Red Sox fan. Now they win all the time. I mean, it's like, you know...
I remember after the
Mets... The Red Sox don't win all the time. They were terrible.
They won 2 years ago. I mean, with a team of garbage, you know, it wasn't even like that good a team.
No, well, it's a...
They just had beards that were so off-putting. I mean, they were really disgusting, long, smelly beards that the other team was like, these guys are all crazy. Like, I don't want to...
Baseball is now made for the 87-win team. You could win 95 games, but you're not going to make it to the World Series. That's how baseball's fixed. You have to win in the high 80s if you want to win the World Series.
You have to sort of sneak in now.
Yeah, you have to be
and then be the hot team.
Sort of effectively mediocre and have a hot streak at the end of the year.
And then you just have one guy who's throwing with both arms. You know, I don't know, like that Bumgardner. I mean, is it even legal to bring him back 2 games after? There should be a law against that, where the guy pitched last night and he's pitching again. I mean, it's like some kind of Belichick move. You know what I'm saying?
Randy Johnson did that against the Yankees in 2001.
Yeah, but that was funny. That was totally amusing.
It was not. It was horrible. That was.
He came in and didn't he save a game? He won like two games and saved one.
Well, Rivera, he just blew it.
That's ridiculous. Well, it's not Rivera's fault. I mean, that pitch is unbelievable for Rivera, but then it's like sooner or later someone's going to hack one off by accident. I mean, you know.
Hey, can I issue an invitation to your listeners?
Yes, it's our listeners.
Special listener.
It's our listeners.
Mr. Jen, if you're listening, call in and discuss what happened at the Red Bulls town meeting.
There was a town hall meeting
with their fans to explain why they fired their excellent coach.
And, they have a good coach.
Really,
we're supposed
to
be
fans
Red.
Are really PO'd, and they're doing big billboards that say hashtag Red Bull out and stuff like that.
That's not
like
a great hashtag. That's kind of, you know, I mean, of all the hashtags that I've heard, that's not a good one. We're allegedly supposed to be Red Bulls fans because we have some listener that was going to give us free tickets that never did.
Jen. Yeah, so she should.
Where are free tickets?
Call
is what
in
I'm
and
saying.
Explain all this because I don't really understand it. But I'm going to be out now. So Bronwyn out. Thanks
what?
Guys for letting me call.
Oh, you're
in.
Leaving?
Thank you.
Don't leave me.
I feel naked without you. Oh, you have Anselm. He's amazing.
Anselm's doing a great job. Anselm's great, but without you, you know.
I'm not up on the Red Bulls though. Are they a Connect 4 team?
Well, they are.
Nobody's up on them. That's why we.
They're the Connect 4 of MLS soccer.
Oh, right, soccer.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
All right. We'll see you later. Have a good Martin Luther King's birthday.
Okay.
If that's allegedly possible. Bronwyn C., the real host of the Sportsy Talk.
You know, when the Mets won that World Series
in 86. I remember everything about them winning that World Series.
In the post, after Game 7, there was an anonymous quote from a Mets player saying something like, "We knew Calvin Schiraldi didn't have any guts." Once he came into the game, we knew we'd won.
Calvin Schiraldi...
I'm pretty sure it was
of all
Wally
the players
Packard.
That I've forgiven for that, Calvin Schiraldi is still better watch himself if he's on the street. I'm just saying. Bob Stanley, I've forgiven. I've forgiven Bill Buckner a million times over.
Yeah.
Calvin Schiraldi, no forgiving you.
How about Clemens? Do you forgive Clemens?
I forgive Clemens for everything. He's a very endearing character in his own maniacal way. Hello, caller. You're on the air. It's a Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
Okay. I want to propose an all-star format that you might actually like for football.
Lay it on me.
Okay. You ever hear of what's called it was super some number, I don't know, at one point it was 12, which was international rugby in the Southern Hemisphere. What they did was, after the season, and all their championships, whatever, they assembled regional all-star teams, several of them.
Well, that sounds pretty
interesting.
And
then they played round-robin competition. So then the equivalent in the NFL would be in the spring, how many divisions they got now? 8 divisions in the NFL?
Like 6, I think.
No,
6
divisions?
I think
okay,
it's 8.
Well, however many divisions there are, you 8? Assemble one all-star team from each division.
Interesting.
And then you don't play one game, you play a whole round-robin season in the spring.
Well, see, I love spring football because you're really just getting a taste of great football during the playoffs, and then it's gone for 6 months. So the USFL and all those spring football things that they tried were really cool because you'd be like, well, now I can still keep watching football, and it's pretty good, you know. I would be for that. I mean, the don't you think the bigger – I mean, the Colts came from the AFC South or something like that for some reason. Do you think that there would be some teams that would have to, like – you'd have to find good players from the Jaguars or from the Buccaneers or something like that?
So what you're saying is the relative strengths of the divisions might make it kind of a...
Well, it seems to me that, yeah, like some of the divisions are great. And like the AFC East is pretty good most of the time, or the NFC East. But like, do you think it would be uneven where you'd be like, well, we have an all-star team over here, and then we have a bunch of guys from the Jaguars over here?
Well, that's a good question, because you wonder, is the idea to get people to root for a division team as like their home regional team? Or is the idea that maybe you just want to assemble some reasonable competition, in which case maybe it shouldn't be on a division basis? I don't know.
Well, that sounds interesting to me because it doesn't involve one game that has nothing at stake. And I would love a spring football league that was serious because, it's you know, they have arena football, which is kind of, I don't know, if you're switching the channels, maybe you stop for a minute. But like, there's not a lot of spring football that's really worth watching right now. So
I could see it
and
working.
This way, you squeeze more out of the talent, the really good talent. Well, I playing them more of the year.
I definitely like it better than the All-Pro game.
With a team like the Jaguars, what you could do is just replace them with actual jaguars.
Yeah, it's like here's four or five actual animals on the field at once, and let's see how they play.
Let's see how that works.
Hand one of them one of those deflated balls. Let them go crazy. Thanks for the call, caller. We appreciate it. I like that better than the all-pro game. I think
the Steelers would be a little scared if they had to play a lineup against
I don't think those guys get scared, man. I think Ben Roethlisberger's been bitten by a jaguar before. I mean, like, those guys, for them, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose.
Whatever. We can take it. Vince Wilfork, after the game. See, this is what makes me think that there's a conspiracy. Vince Wilfork, driving home from Foxborough to wherever he lives, someplace in Massachusetts, I assume. Or Northern Rhode Island. There's a woman's car is flipped over.
Yeah.
And he pulls the woman out of the car. Because he's a giant person. He's literally about 2.5 people.
Right.
And really fast. He's got these little legs, and he's just like, it takes about 3 guys to block him at any time. So he just kind of takes this lady out of her SUV and saves her life. But it makes me feel like they've let the story out to sort of defray, like, oh look over here.
From
see? Nice guy Patriot saves.
You know.
You're not convinced of the evil?
I'm just baffled by the whole Deflategate thing. Or Inflategate. Is it Inflate or
It's Deflategate as far as I've seen on the Twitter, but I'm Inflategate could be the other.
I wanna see a ball that's subflated.
Well, you were saying before the show that you wanted to see a ball filled with helium and how that would fly.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, well, if you're going to take the air out of the ball, then you might as well put something else back into it.
Well, isn't it garbage that they have different balls to kick with and different balls to throw with? I mean, I want to see you take the ball that everybody's been whipping around and then kick a field goal with it. That's, I'm sorry that you know.
That's the communistic side of the NFL.
That's garbage, right?
You add a little bureaucracy just to make things more bureaucratic.
Well, I wrote to the NFL because frequently I'll have ideas late at night. One of my ideas was because they, you know, they do this. They get close to the end zone, and then you have to see if the ball is in this big pile of people as they move around or whatever. Like I said, well, why can't we have like some sort of fluorescent, glow in the dark ball when you're in the red zone? And why can't the red zone be red? I mean, why can't it light up? In the red zone, and you're like, oh, well, now I'm paying attention because the field's red. And then the ball is maybe like super fluorescent orange or something like that.
Well, they could have like a whole bunch of people with cans of red paint standing around the end zone so that whenever the
action they've deflated
got
the
close,
ball,
you just throw the ball there. Yeah, you have a little abstract expressionist moment.
That's not bad, actually. That would fill some time. Caller, you're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
Hey, it's Listener Jen.
Hey, Listener Jen. Listener Jen is calling to give us an update on the Red Bulls. What exactly was this? Some sort of meeting they had?
Yeah, town hall meeting. First of all, yes. I had tickets waiting for you guys. You never got back to me on a game.
I am playing
so
games with you.
We have tickets again this year.
You know, I say a lot of things when callers aren't on the phone with me that are offensive/jerky.
Yeah.
And then when they're on the phone, I'm completely charming.
It's that New England
It's a New England thing.
Quality.
Yeah. We're all secretly sinister beneath the sort of boyish charm.
That's why people fall for conspiracies.
This is well because there is a conspiracy, don't you think? Now, you went to this meeting where they had apparently the Red Bulls have fans, and then the fans are upset.
Yeah.
Can you explain why they're upset?
They fired a new GM came in and fired the coach Mike Pecky.
Okay.
Mike Pecky was the face of the team.
Face of the team, not that Henry guy, because he's gone, right?
Well, Henry was their marquee player,
right?
But Pecky played with the Metro Stars. He was drafted by him, came back and played with Red Bull, and now he was with
how old is this guy's been the coach for how long?
He was for 2 years.
2 years.
And two of the most successful years in franchise history. He won us our first trophy.
Right.
We were a goal away from making the MLS Cup.
The Revolution from New England defeated them and then lost another MLS Cup, which is what they kind of do. They've been in the finals like 5 times or something like that, and they've never won.
And so a new GM came in and fired him.
Okay.
Rather unceremoniously.
Unceremoniously, as opposed to the ceremonious firing that most of us were
hoping for. Yeah, it was leaked on, you know,
leaked
in the middle of the night.
Right. Yeah. Leaked, you like know, air escaping from a football.
I'm reading
about
it.
Yeah, the guy
right
just
now.
Came back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
All ready to go for the, you know, new season for the draft that happened last week. And,
right. And it was like, hey, by the way,
yeah.
I don't know if you've read the internet.
Now we're on our, I believe, 14th coach in 20 years.
Okay. That seems, I mean, I don't know. For that's soccer, that seems kind of normal, right?
No, it's not.
That doesn't seem normal?
No.
That's George Steinbrenner-esque.
Well, Steinbrenner would fire guys in the middle of the season, right? He was like, how did you not have Reggie Jackson steal home?
You're fired. He'd fire Billy Martin in April and then rehire him in July.
I mean, that's what we've come to grow to love about the Steinbrenners.
In the time that they've gone through 14 coaches,
yes.
The Yankees have had two.
Well, yeah, because one of them won 4 or 5 championships,
yeah,
and
but
the other one is, I don't know, he's just kind of hanging around.
Anyway, this was the last straw for...
That's the last straw for the fans of the Red Bulls?
Yeah, well, when the team took over in 06, a lot of fans weren't happy with the name change. And
they changed the name to,
you know,
because there was a
tool for an energy drink.
Right, it's a good energy drink. I mean, it doesn't technically give you wings, apparently.
Gives you little buffalo wings.
It's pretty tasty, though. I mean, it's not bad.
I've never had one.
Oh, man.
No, man, I can't do that stuff.
It's like Adderall times a million. And it has bull semen in it. I think that's the main ingredient. I don't know if that's true.
Ali Curtis is the general manager, although it says
well, that's
the
sporting thing is,
director.
When you hire a new general manager in most sports, see, I don't understand soccer technically. Because in Britain, all the big teams in the big, you know, like the European teams, the coach is the guy who decides who all the players on the team are, too, I believe.
Right.
So basically you have a general manager for the Red Bulls and a coach. So the guy's like saying, all right, we're going to play a 4-4-2 or something like that as the coach. And the guy who goes and gets all the players to play the 4-4-2 is this general manager person.
Right, but generally they try to work together.
But this didn't work out. I mean, but if
no.
you're hired as a general manager,
he came in, you know, with somebody in mind, and fired, you know, this beloved coach who was coming off 2 successful seasons. And granted, he wasn't perfect,
right?
But he was, you know.
But what if these? I understand, you know, this is the time of year where maybe, you know, you say, well, I'm just giving up on those Red Bulls or whatever. But what if they go out and win 5 or 6, you know, games, and then it's like, well, they're playing really well under new guy.
Ease some people's mind, but it, you know, there is that movement to finally get Red Bull to sell the team.
Oh, who will they be able to sell the team to? Because apparently the MLS teams are owned by MLS or something
offers.
Like that.
You know, before the Yankees and Man City bought, you know, started a new franchise.
Yeah, other Man City, yeah, NYC football
Ader.
Team.
Who is trying to get a stadium built in Las Vegas. He's a local guy. He's, you know, helping fund a lot of the Red Bull stuff, Red Bull Out stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are people willing to buy.
And move the team to Las Vegas?
No. This is just this guy.
Oh, just another guy.
Wants in on an MLS team.
Okay.
And
I believe that New York City should have about 4 or 5 MLS teams. Personally, because, you know, like in London, there's like 25 different soccer teams all living in London. And London's,
right.
you know, London's a big place. But like, and that makes it fun because the guys from this neighborhood come and you know, they play you every year in your neighborhood.
Right.
And, you know, everyone's yelling and screaming and going crazy.
There's a pretty good breakdown of the town hall meeting on the empireofsoccer.com.
Yeah, Empire Soccer. Has.
Sounds like there was a lot of... salty language involved.
Yeah, well, there's audio available too. It got pretty like any town hall meeting.
But I would just ask fans, if you're gonna make sort of negative hashtags, I mean, just really, you know, you really it really has to be like, you have to bring it up a notch, like, because not, what is it, not Red Bulls or Red Bulls
Red out?
Bull out? Yeah, I don't
you're
really.
Pretty language challenged from the get-go when the team's called the Red Bulls. I mean,
Red Bulls,
you know,
is
that's
hard.
That's a problem. You should that needs to be.
But
a
they're all
there.
All these MLS teams are called like the football, you know, NYC FC or something like that, and it's like, well, football, really, you know, or Real Salt Lake.
Well, yeah, that.
I mean,
that's
ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, and I want soccer to work in the United States because it's a cool sport, and I don't know if we sort of adopted the schedule that all the other teams in the world seem to go under?
Well, this is a huge disconnect, it seems like, between how popular soccer is among people who play it and then where it's at on the professional level.
Well, because we're like the fourth or fifth grade down from the highest levels of soccer. Like, if we went over and played, like, when the other teams are on vacation, they come over here and play us, like, as a joke. And, you know, they wipe us out, you know, like in a friendly, like 4-0 or something like that.
We're sitting around watching Patriots and Colts play with deflated balls.
Well, that's America. That's what America's about.
Right. We could eliminate football entirely.
We could.
And then just elevate soccer, and that'd be that.
Well, I think most of the players in other countries, like the best sports stars in most other countries, are going to play soccer or football or, like, they're, you know, because that's the biggest sport in the world except for America.
Yeah.
And it's like the 10th biggest sport here. Like, lacrosse is kind of making a move.
I've missed the last few lacrosse matches.
Oh, lacrosse. Yeah, yeah, lacrosse, let me tell you. Lacrosse has got it. Hitting people with sticks is really going to – it's really going up the charts. Well, listener Jen, I hope and pray that during the winter break that the American football takes – because they play – like those British guys play all winter long, whether it's raining or snowing or – thunder, hail. America takes off until, like, the weather's nice. And that's when they start up again. So,
March.
I hope by March that Red Bulls fans will come to their senses and say, hey, look, I understand sometimes it's a business and people get fired that we like. Don Zimmer got fired as a Red Sox manager. I probably swore that I would never watch them.
It goes beyond that, though. It goes beyond that.
So you're just saying it's over.
I am with the Red Bull out.
So where are we going? What team are we taking on now?
No, I still support the player. I still support the team, the guys on the field.
Okay.
I support the team. It's
so
the ownership.
What will our – should we toilet paper the place over in over the new field? Should we go, you know, TP the place, or what are we going to do?
There's things in the works.
All right, so you're going to let us know some shenanigans, because I'm down for that.
If things – I will – you guys will be included in our press release.
Because we can get, because we can get, you know, some microphones. We can go down and cause any kind of trouble you want. I love laying down in front of traffic. I love causing a ruckus. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. But, I mean, for me, I'm ready to go at a moment's notice for any kind of shenanigans you want to go down for.
Okay. I'll keep you guys posted.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jen.
All right.
You're talking Occupy Red Bull.
Yeah, hey. Whatever, man. And, you know, I went down to Zuccotti Park for an evening because I heard they were going to shut it down. And I was like, well, this seems like something that ought to happen.
Yeah.
You know, your little, I don't know what, you know, it was apparently about money or something. You know, but I got my little Santa Claus outfit on. I went around and swept the park because they were saying, you know, the park's real dirty. You know, we got to go in there and get the dirty people out of the park.
You dressed up as Santa and went to Zuccotti Park.
And
swept up?
Swept up for the whole night. And then Good Morning America wanted to interview me in the morning, and I said hello to them and stuff like that. And then they didn't shut down the park. And I'm not saying I'm personally responsible for them not shutting down the park the first time they wanted to, but that's pretty much, I think, how history will tell us.
Yeah. If we wanted to shut the country down, basically, if everybody didn't spend any money for one day, even for 1 hour,
they do that every,
totally shock.
Don't they do that every year? Like the day, you know, like Black Friday thing for the Adbusters is like, don't buy anything day.
Well, but nobody actually does it. But no money, no transactions, don't go to the bank, don't move any money, don't spend, don't use a credit card, don't do anything.
That's easy for me to do because I don't have it. I don't have any money.
Well, yeah, there's that problem. The best moment I had on jury duty recently was when this case that nobody wanted to be on was being proposed to us. A guy was asked if he had any reasons that he would be biased against the case. And he said, yes, this case is about money, and I'm not going to be making any while I'm here.
Did he get off the thing?
We all got off because they got rid of the entire jury pool.
I thought the only way to get out of trials, and this worked for one guy when I went the last time I went in Brooklyn, was the guy was just an incredible racist. And then everybody was like, well, since that guy was a racist, now I feel like they've tainted this trial for me. And so then they just let everybody go.
That could happen. But, the judge for this case just never showed up to talk to the jurors. So the lawyers had to do all the interviews, and they screwed them up completely. And then at a certain point, somebody walked in and just took pity on us and said, well, you can all leave.
Well, see, this is on the
justice system at work.
On the website, on the playlist comments update website thing, there's a hashtag I can't say on the air, but it's red BS. So like, so it's a good play on. See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, a little bit of snap to it. Like Red Bull out could be anything. Like we're out of Red Bull, let's go get some more.
Yeah, it could be get rid of, take the commie bulls out of the herd or something like that.
I mean, I don't know what that means either, but yes, that could be. That could also be something. At the top of the hour, it's Dr. Game Show with Joe Firestone. It's a great show. You should be listening to that. That'll be on in about 5 minutes. We got 5 minutes left on the show. I don't know if we have a quick call from another person.
I think, is that Mike Francesa on line four?
It could be. He's very upset. He's sleeping. He gets very cranky when he hasn't had his nap in the middle of the day. So I think this has been a successful Martin Luther King edition of the Sportsy Talk in general. It's been great to have Anselm Berrigan. Anselm Berrigan, you have a book called Pre-Gretz.
Pre-Gretz.
That's just come out from some sort of publisher in another country.
In Australia, another country.
How are they doing in Australia? How are things going in Australia?
I don't know. I my sources tell me that things are moving along there, but, you know, there's tension.
There's tension in what's happening?
Well.
What?
You know.
What's happening in what? When is that? There's tension? What kind of tension are we talking about?
Not enough tension for them not to publish a book by me for some reason.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But you also have another book coming out by somebody else. Tell me more. This is books of poetry, by the way, which you should all be buying.
Yeah. Although I'm thinking that the next book, instead of I'm going to get rid of all the poems and just appropriate all of these great op-eds that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has been writing for Time Magazine lately.
Is the Time Magazine doing these days?
I don't know, but Kareem is a pretty insightful and smart, sensitive writer. So on that score, they're doing all right. But
I was watching Airplane the other day, by the way. Terrific movie if you haven't seen it, from like 1977 or 78. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has really one of the best roles, as far as I'm concerned, in the whole movie as the co-pilot.
He shouldn't have eaten the fish, though.
He shouldn't have eaten the fish. Don't eat the fish while you're watching, because you'll have like sympathetic problems if you do. So don't eat the fish. I am getting ready for Joe. I don't know where Joe is. I think Joe is out there. Oh, there's Joe. Joe Firestone. Dr. Game Show is coming up. Joe, what do you guys got going on tonight?
We have some German tourists who are going to listen to the radio in studio.
German tourists. That sounds outstanding, and you should be listening to that as I try to move this microphone back and forth. It sounds like a cage of some kind. Joe Firestone and Dr. Game Show is coming up next at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned. And if you've been waiting for me to be off the air, then please turn on your radio now and join us on WFMU. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. We're online everywhere at WFMU.org and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Tune in next week. Bronwyn C. will be back. It'll be more Super Bowl talking. Anselm, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Please go out and buy Anselm Berrigan's books. He's a terrific poet and a very handsome man and a very reasonable sports radio guy. Thanks for being so reasonable. And
it's my pleasure.
We appreciate having you today. So please stay tuned because Dr. Game Show's coming up. If I turn this on and then turn this on.
Kiss you when we say goodbye. Don't lie. My darling, please don't laugh if I cry. If I say I've always loved you, and I will till I die, don't laugh, don't laugh. Honest darling, I'm not teasing when I say you are the best. Don't laugh, don't laugh. And if you will take the chance, I know my love will stand the test. Don't laugh, don't laugh. I could never find another. There's no use for me to try.
welcome to Dr. Game Show with Joe Firestone. You're listening to WFMU, and this is the nonstop game show for you. We were working on that for a long time. We're here with a couple of guests in studio. We also have Manolo. Manolo, how you doing?
Manolo, not Reggie Watts. Wonk.
Very good, Manolo, very good. Now, Manolo, I heard that you have a little bit of a backstory to share with us today.
Oh, like if you were wondering where my talent comes from, dad, you know Bobby McFerrin? My dad was a big fan of his.
Okay, great. That's good enough for me. Now, mm-hmm. Are you feeling good tonight?
Yeah. How are you? Are you feeling good?
I'm not feeling great, but I think it's going to be a great show because we have some, and now you heard you have some new sound effects?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's,
What's that?
You don't want to guess?
I'm going to go ahead and guess, woman running through the woods.
No, it's radio waves, bouncing off, varicose veins.
I hear it now. Thank you.
From an insecure person.
Oh, wow. Manolo, that was really good. I hope that comes up today.
Okay.
So we have two in-studio guests who are comedians who perform all over New York City. They're also roommates. We have Ryan Haney here.
Hi.
Hi. And Gary Richardson.
Hello.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Very excited to be here. Very excited to test out some brand spanking new game shows.
I'm going to double down on what Ryan said. I feel exactly the same.
When Gary and I, this morning we woke up, we rolled out of bed, and the great thing about being roommates is we opened our doors simultaneously into our shared living area, and we kind of stared at each other, and we knew today was the day we go on the radio and play the game shows.
Oh, that's
sweet.
Were,
and you, I heard Gary all last night where I'd be trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I'd hear Gary kind of get up and rustle around in the fridge, and then and then I'm sure you heard me, I kept going to the bathroom because I was drinking so much water, I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And now you guys are in studio. It's really happening.
It's happening. We're here. I'm excited. Yes.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad. And we have some German tourists in the studio listening tonight. Is that right? Can we get a little clap from the German tourists? Yes, we have them in studio. They don't have mics, unfortunately, but they're here just so you know. Just so you know what's going on. We like to be up front here at Dr. Game Show. So, I don't know if you guys know the drill, but here's how it's going to go. We have five listeners have submitted game shows for this show tonight. One will go on to next week. And you guys will get to play them with anyone that calls in. Now, the idea is to win. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's like life.
Mm-hmm. And so if you win, if you win the whole thing, you'll get a custom magnet. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And if any of the callers win, they will also get custom magnets. Can you believe that?
So if the callers win any of the individual game shows, they'll get a custom magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for me to accrue five maggots over the course of the evening?
Five maggots, yeah. They know you can get five maggots, yeah, for sure.
I can get five maggots?
Yeah. If you win, only you. That's the way it works, pretty much. You guys have any questions? You guys hate each other? Are you guys ready to go against each other?
I mean, yeah, Gary and I knew that as soon as we were getting in here, you know, the rent's paid, the bills are settled.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no need for niceties or any of that.
Walk away if necessary.
Yeah.
You
know? I'm the only one on the lease. Gary can go bye-bye anytime. He can find someone else. We'll be fine.
I travel very light. I can go very far very quickly.
And I have an emotional capacity where I can just sever off connections like that. Mm-hmm. Someone's in my life, and then the next day they're gone, and it'll blink an eye.
I've got the gait of a thoroughbred, all right? I've got no problem.
You guys are
scooting.
Perfect roommates.
Perfect roommates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Manolo, it works really well.
Yeah.
Manolo,
yeah.
Do you live by yourself?
No, I live with someone.
Romantically?
Yeah.
No, he's just taller than me.
Okay. That's just what I expected. So we're playing a couple games tonight. We're playing a game from last week called Sit Called. We're playing a game called Vita Meaning. We're playing a game called Match the Stuffed Animal. We're playing a game called Home Aloning It. and we're playing a game called the movie game. All right, so these are going to be very exciting. If you want to, if you're listening and you want to call in, you can call in. It's 201-209-9368. And again, if you have ideas and you think these game shows are for idiots, I need to submit. I can do better than this. I recommend you do. You can email gameshowideas@gmail.com, and we will play your show on the air. All right, so we're going to... Are you ready to play our first game?
Ready.
Of course.
Manolo?
Ding.
Great. So this first game is called Sit Called. Manolo, could we get a theme song for it?
I'm tired, I need to sit. Oh wait, somebody called and the phone's across the room. I'm gonna play a game instead now.
That was snappy. That was really snappy.
Sounded a lot like the opening theme, Manolo.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of in my head right now.
Let's see if all of the theme songs might be the same exact. Well, I mean, we can only hope. So this game is played. This one is submitted by Rekha Shankar of Brooklyn, New York. And the way
hi,
Rekha.
Hello, Rekha.
So the way it works is I'm going to give you a log line of a sitcom that doesn't exist, and you're going to have to come up with the perfect name. All right? Now, if you would like to play, if you're listening at home and you'd like to play, you can call in 201-209-9368. Let's play an example round. Okay, so Manolo, you're going to judge this, right? Mm-hmm. So if you if someone wins, what sound are you going to make?
I'm going to do this. Slap and then say their name.
Okay, and if they lose?
Punch. And then the winner's name.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, that's deeper than I thought. Okay, so we're going to play this game called Sit Called. Okay, so for an example round, let's say two lawyers who are caught in jail. Someone might name that sitcom behind bars and pillars of the legal system.
One could call that show that. Yeah,
absolutely. As I mean, that's English. You can print that up on any kind of title or anything like that. Those words would for sure show up on screen.
Could almost fit on a tweet when you hashtag it.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah,
it's a few characters over, but you know, this is the radio, so we're trying our best.
Oh,
you know,
can I try that one?
Mm-hmm.
I would call that show Barred.
Very good. Very good. Yes. Gary?
Yeah, I'd say something different. Me? I'm talking about two lawyers caught in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about behind disbarred.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. I like that a lot.
All right, so I know the secret now. I go last. I get it now. Yeah.
Keep this right, rules right. That's what we're doing.
I forgot what my